So we've just had the Canadian Thanksgiving holiday pass. And before the long weekend, we went from 7 active cases. And on October 14th, which was this Wednesday that just passed, we had 47 active cases. As of yesterday, we had 23. And we will be getting more updates from Chief Mark Hill when he talks later about the stats and the numbers in his interview to get for today's stats. So with these numbers and the rise over the long weekend and over the holiday with people gathering, what do you want to say to all the families as it does get colder who want to have inside gatherings for birthdays, get-togethers, and parties, especially as we head into Christmas?
I mean, I think I already kind of answered that. We need to put aside some of our personal desires and wants for the betterment of the entire community. We're supposed to think like a collective community and for everyone, and those type of things are putting people at risk. Maybe not your personal friends or family, but others, right? And I think, you know, I understand why people want to do it and why people need to do it. But, I mean, we should really not be doing those things. I don't know. I think I already kind of answered that. But, you know, I would suggest people, you know, listen, follow, do what they can, limit their gatherings to what's recommended. Limit your shopping, limit your going out, avoid those big crowds. I mean, we're a rural community. We don't have any large shopping centers and place where people congregate in areas. So really, we shouldn't be having these outbreaks because we just don't have those big city centers. So, I mean, this is coming from private gatherings and parties and events, like private events. So, I mean, it's for everyone. I mean, I would never wish ill or death upon anyone, my worst enemy. So we're, like I said, we did it before with Caledonia and everything that happened there. We all band together and united. We put aside our differences and thought about each other as a people. And just because COVID doesn't have a face, you know, that we're staring across at, we are fighting it together. And it is there. So
absolutely.
I think just you know, listen to what public health has to say, because it is real, and we don't want anyone in the community to suffer a loss.
Yeah, and like you said, trying to band together in our thinking of keeping one another safe. You know, maybe we can try to look at having to stay closer knit and closer to our families, our immediate families, and having more quiet time at home and not socializing so much. You know, we could almost look at it as maybe even a type of fasting or vision questing. Those times we would be by ourselves or with a very small group. So traditionally, some of these cultural practices we might that we have, we could even connect somehow to those by thinking of this whole situation around COVID-19 and what we need to do to keep safe and stay in our nest at home and stay in our shells, right? So
yeah.
Trying
sure.
to turn it over and think of it maybe in a positive way. We get to spend more quality one-on-one time with one another.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I mean, that might have been something that families were missing over the last couple of decades, is that wholesome family time, right. Spending time, you know, everyone gets so busy going out here or there, being on, you know, their phones or video games, you know, to have that bonding time is not a bad thing with your family.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's a good way to look at things.
Mm-hmm. So we often hear the phrase flatten the curve so as not to overwhelm the healthcare system. Do you think the type of medical care you received, you know, helped your recovery? And what do you fear most for those in the community who get infected and will not be able to access in terms of treatments or any kind of, you know, health care in this second wave? So, I know you weren't in the hospital, right?
No, but, I wasn't in the hospital, no.
You still did receive health care through the phone calls and whatever else waves.
Yeah, I can only speak to what I received, right? So, I mean, having our drive-through assessment center, very convenient, very got me in very fast, identified my positive test the same day, right away, started, you know, isolating. So I think that was great. Did receive a call daily from a nurse checking in, you know, seeing physically how I am, making sure I'm getting food. Do I need any food dropped off? We have been doing a lot of food. Health's been doing food drop-offs to a lot of people in the community. So that was great. Fortunately, I had family dropping off food for me. The care, you know, from the nurse was great. I did have someone else reach out and do a little bit of like a counseling session with me while I was isolating, which helped very much. Like I said, there was medicine made for me, traditional medicine that I used that definitely, I think, boosted my recovery. And I was very thankful for that. So all those things, that's what I received. While I was isolating and sick. What is your question?
Well, just, you know, for people that might, as we're going into the second wave and the numbers have gone up and they're, you know, they went down a little bit over the last couple of days, but we don't know how bad this is going to get, you know, and how it'll affect people, the sickness. You know, it could take out, like, we've got Project Protect Our Elders, we've got these kind of things in the community, but some of these people could get taken out, or we may not be able to have that access to some of the health care that we're used to. Like, I know there's a lot of people waiting for immunizations outside the community. You know, that was on mainstream news. Just different things around being able to get the care that we need when we're sick, you know, as we're in the second wave.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're worried about maybe around that?
I myself, obviously, increased cases means, you know, more hospital beds, more, you know, strain on services. Do we have the nurse power to be calling, you know, everyone if there's hundreds of cases? People need that check-in. They need that care. They have a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions I had that I needed answers to help ease my anxiety, right? And will we have enough to do that if it gets worse? Do we have the resources? I mean, shout out to all the healthcare workers that have been working hard since March. All the people doing, you know, reassignments and holding down the fort. You know, everyone's been working really hard since March. That's been reassigned or been an essential service. And my fear, as a manager, is my staff's getting a little worn down, right?
Yep.
I mean, we need a break. And if the second wave is long, you know, I need to monitor my staff's well-being too, because they're just people just like anyone else, right? They have the same fears and families, and they've sacrificed time and risk, you know, helping the community, which is great. So I just worry a little bit about that too, as fatigue would set in with some of the people that have been going since March.
Right, and then you know, maybe some people not following the public health guidelines, or you know, getting together and it being people getting sick that way, right? Raising the numbers, so definitely does tax everybody that is providing that kind of care that you received and that you are talking about that we do have available now. But you know, even contract tracing is quite a job as the numbers go up too. So you know, being mindful of that, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, so is there anything else you'd like to add, or any other advice you want to share with the community, or is there any final thoughts before we're done here today?
Not really. I mean, like I said, Six Nations, we're